Keith Murphy.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Andy Fails.
I pity the fool.
It's the Murph and Andy Show, powered by AD.
You can do it!
On 1460 KXNO.
What are we up to? The letter letter N.
Letter N.
Neil Diamond, Guilty Pleasures. Must mean Murph's out of town on the Murph and Andy Show.
That's right.
1460 KXNO, Andy Fails, Andrew Downs with you this afternoon. We'll be doing some Guilty Pleasures, going in and out of the breaks.
That one's yours, right?
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that I was the one that picked the Neil Diamond.
Yes.
So no one picks Sweet Caroline.
That's a good call, because we got a couple tweets about that earlier today.
Yeah, yeah. So now it's done. There can't be any more Neil Diamond. That's wiped off of there.
It is.
That section of the N is gone. Next. We're going to try to make everybody feel better today. This is going to be kind of a therapy session, right? Sometimes you need that in a sports radio show. You need a venting. You need an exorcism. You need to be able to just kind of air out all your dirty laundry and frustrations and then move on with your life. We got plenty to gripe about today, right? We do.
We do.
I mean, we have like too much right now. Let's start with the giant snowstorm that was not.
Yeah.
We got word from the National Weather Service yesterday during the show, Andrew,
right,
that the 6 inches of snow that that everybody was forecasting was being bumped up to 8 to 10 inches by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, it was like 6 inches.
Yeah,
nah,
they're like, no. It's going
to
be worse than that.
A foot.
So we're worried. I went to bed last night thinking I watched 30 minutes of the Hawkeye game.
Nice.
And I had to go to bed. I went to bed thinking, boy, I wonder what I'm going to wake up to. You know, I thought maybe I would, come downstairs and not be able to see out the windows. Or that I would open the garage door and a foot of snow would just fall in to the garage. You know, where you really aren't sure. I don't think there was an inch on the ground when I opened the garage door. There was nothing.
Were you like, what? Wait,
where is this stuff? Like, I mean, it was like snowing. Lost. It looked like it was, you know, snowing at a pretty good clip. Apparently what happened is there was a great big patch of dry air sitting above the storm, behind the storm, kind of around the storm and drying it out, taking the moisture out of the whole thing, taking the precipitation out of it. And we didn't get much at all. I think we ended up getting 2.7 inches at one point this morning. And we were forecasting up to, I think we went as far up as like 6.5 inches on the Channel 13 News. National Weather Service is the only ones that went all the way up to that 8 to 10. And I guess that was their afternoon crew. And then their night crew came in and was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I can't believe you guys pushed this out. This is too much. So they tried to.
That's got
to
be a rough.
Unring the bell a little bit. Put the pace back in
the
tube.
It's like, okay, I'm gonna actually lower this a little bit.
Yeah, what,
it's dry
what,
air. And
what
he comes
were
in.
You guys
what,
doing?
What you guys just said 10 inches?
What? Oh man, we're wrong today. We're wrong. So Jerry Ann, she was stressed about this morning because they try to get it right. You know, I don't think anybody out there thinks that meteorologists are right all the time. No, no one thinks that, right? I mean, that's the joke, right? I mean, oh, I'd like to have a job like that. You can be right half the time and still get paid. But they try, you know. They pride themselves in doing the best forecast that they can. And so she was. They were all the stations were just kind of ticked that the storm did not deliver.
My son got up in the middle of the night. It was about 4:30, and he came into my room and said he was thirsty. So I was like, all right, I'll go get you a cup of water, go back to bed. So as I'm going to the kitchen, I was like, oh, I better look. Because when I went to bed at 11, it wasn't really, it was snowing a little bit, but there wasn't much.
It was supposed to be heavy at 10.
And I was like, so I bet it's nuts right now. I bet it's crazy snowing. I look outside and I was like, it was almost like, is it really 4:30? Like, I felt like there was something wrong with me.
What time was
not
it?
That there was, it was like 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
So I felt like there was something wrong with me, not something wrong with the weather. Like, I just assumed there would be all this snow. So
was like, you were looking out the wrong window.
Is it only like midnight? Like, have I only been asleep for like an hour? Yeah, exactly. Or like, did I sleep for 3 days?
That's the window like, into, yeah, you're so stupid at that time of the day. You're like, right. Is that the window into last week?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, I was looking at the wrong week window.
No, I guess all this stuff I was worried about, man, I'm going to have to get up early and go out and snowblow before I take my son to school. And God, this is going to be, and I was like, wait a minute. None of this is going
to
happen.
No, it's enough to get out there and have to shovel for it. Yeah, let's establish that. No one is upset with meteorologists today for getting this wrong.
No.
Right? Because we're far enough along. I don't think people changed a whole lot of plans. You know, they were kind of going to do what they wanted to do last night. There were crowds at those basketball games.
Yes.
And, you know, it seems like they've called off school so many times and so many delays that... that isn't all that big a deal anymore. There were a lot of school closures this morning and a lot more delays. But Des Moines schools, they had a normal start time. They did. West Des Moines, I don't think. Yeah, West Des Moines, they went to school. Urbandale was just delayed. All of the closures were way out in the sticks. They were not here in the metro. But the snow, really just one of the busts of the evening. The basketball teams as well, the Cyclones and the Hawkeyes. Let's just start it with a quickie poll and then get into the rewinds.
Yeah, which was the biggest bust Tuesday night? Was it the Cyclones, the Hawkeyes, or the snowstorm? Three things we all expected a lot of and got very little of.
Well, I'm going to say, in an effort partially not to spoil our commentary about the games, but really because it affected me the most, it was the snowstorm. Really? I mean, we've seen these teams lose at home before.
Yeah.
This snowstorm was nothing compared to what it was built up to be. I mean, we had extra staff in. We had extra photographers there. We had people that packed like crazy clothes and stuff to go report in. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. The kids were all, I think we had planned for meals and games and everything. They're going to be stuck inside all day today. I mean, this was just a total dud. Others may disagree. They may think it was the Cyclones or the Hawkeyes because, let's face it, both of those games were busts. Even if you went in there with modest expectations, when you watched those games, you felt to yourself, you felt like, this is not the team that I know, right? This team is not playing the way they just played, or they've played recently, or I know they can play. This game was there for them, I think, if they're playing like they can.
Yes.
Let's start with the game that ended most recently. Start with Iowa State. Baylor, it has been a thorn in their side. I feel like for a long time. I don't know if it's because those losses are more aggravating.
They
more aggravating
come at a bad
than
time,
some of the others.
They?
Yeah, they come at a bad time, or if they truly just have lost a whole lot of games to Baylor. Your mind is tweaked a little bit just simply by memories that are more vivid than others.
I thought I saw on Twitter last night that this is the third out of the last 5 years that Baylor has swept Iowa State. So it's not just in your mind.
Seems like in the regular season.
Yes. Yeah, Iowa State will get them down in Kansas City.
Yeah, down at the conference tournament.
Baylor does well in Hilton for some reason.
It's a different thing. But Iowa State had everything set up, I thought, for them. They've got Fred Hoiberg there.
Yeah.
Monte Morris there. Good crowd there. Coming off a huge win on the road at K-State.
Yep. Put yourself right back in contention.
Right back in contention.
Right back on the four line in the NCAA tournament, like all of it.
First place in their sights.
Essentially erased that loss against TCU.
Yeah. And everybody's feeling like, what did we get so down about after the TCU game? We're right back in this thing. We're just a little inconsistent, but that's okay. What were they up? Were they up 10? Were they favored by 10 points?
Nine
going
and a half
this
for
game?
10.
Nine
yeah,
half,
right,
10?
Right around there.
So, yeah, no reason to believe that that's going to be wrong. So in the first half, though, Baylor comes out with Freddie Gillespie, who I don't know how many times the announcers talked about him, the Division III transfer from Carleton. That guy... there's no way he's at Carleton to play basketball, right? Carleton's a really good... My grandmother went to Carleton. It's a really good liberal arts school. I mean, this guy was going to be like an English studies major or something, right? Or a foreign languages guy. And he just happened to be really tall and athletic. I mean, he's like, not there just to play basketball with Carlton.
Somebody at Carlton's like, hey, man, you know, you should probably play in D1.
You're right, or probably too good to play here or something. The guy was great. The Baylor comes out, though, builds a lead while just dominating with guys like Gillespie on the glass.
To Gillespie for a short jumper. He missed it for the long rebound, tipped out, and a scramble for it. Chaok knocked it free, but it's controlled by Mason. He'll get rid of it right side, and a two-hand dunk by Mark Vital. Getting past Tyler Babbitt, driving at large, tried to block the shot, couldn't quite get to it. Vital rebounds and misses. Vital rebounds again. Horton Tucker tied him up momentarily, but Vital got it back, found Gillespie, and he dunked it with the left hand. The floating jumper off the glass, no good, but the rebound to Baylor again, and they tip it in, and it's 19-9 Baylor.
I don't know that there's anything that aggravates fans more than watching their team just get smoked on the glass.
Yeah, and especially the offensive rebounds. You're giving up second chance points. They're missing shots, and they're able to just
they're missing
put it
a
right
long shot.
Yeah,
you're supposed to just by sheer numbers be in better position to get that rebound. They get it though. They're very close to the basket. They put it right back up and in.
And several times where they miss that putback, you get the rebound
twice.
Again and put it right
yeah,
back
yeah.
up.
Yeah, two rebounds. Two offensive rebounds in the possession. Yeah, a number of times in the game.
Several times Iowa State guys like seemed like they had the ball, just hadn't quite corralled it yet, and Baylor's able to knock it free. You know, Travis Hines was posting some videos kind of showing some of the problems from last night, and there was one where there were four Cyclones standing around the hoop.
With their arms down.
Yeah, and a Baylor guy comes in, gets the offensive rebound, puts it right back up.
Right. It gets to the point where if you're Scott Drew, you're like, dude, a dunce could coach this team right now. What are we going to do? We're going to throw the ball at the rim.
Yeah.
I don't care if it goes in or not.
Try to make that first shot.
Yeah, yeah. The best case scenario, it goes in. There is no worst case scenario because we're going to get the rebound and put it right back up in. Like second best case scenario, we have to take a second shot to put it in. But yeah, driving the fans crazy, keeping a lid on Hilton Coliseum on a night where they clearly wanted to blow the lid off. The Cyclones do fight back, though. They have little spurts here and there and keep it close.
Bounces it back to Chaok. Right corner, three on the way by Mariel. He got it. He drives it right side. Double clutch shot off the glass and in. Tough shot for Talen Horton-Tucker. Halliburton for three. He answers at the other end. Tyrese Halliburton with a Walmart three. And it's 29-25, Baylor.
Can understand why you hear that Steve Prohm wants Tyrese Halliburton to shoot more because he got a beautiful shot. And looks like a real natural there. But, you know, 9 points there and at least 3 three-pointers. And they all looked really good. Shoot the ball a little bit more, Tyrese. 38-34, Baylor is in the lead at the halftime locker room. Feels like the Cyclones can just sort of change things around a little bit, get some more shots to fall, and start winning this game. But... and they come out, really, they decide to trap Mekhi Mason.
Yes.
And they start forcing him into bad decisions and messing with the Baylor offense. Scott Drew adjusts to that, though. He makes another adjustment, and then Baylor goes right back to its old tricks and grabbing more rebounds than Iowa State, close shots, and just flat-out out-hustling the Cyclones. Yeah. I mean, straight up and down, they just played harder, played tougher. So Iowa State does take the lead several times in the second half, but Baylor, Iowa State battles back in there. Maybe they even go up by a point. Baylor had an answer all night.
Drive it left baseline, all the way underneath, reverse layup, good! Talen Horton-Tucker put all kinds of English on that shot. It is 44-42 Iowa State. Cross-court kick out, a three by Bandu, good. Devontae Bandu hit the three, he has 10, and Baylor regains the lead at 45-44. Yeah. Shovels to Chaok for a three, good! And the Cyclones lead it, 58-57. Pick and roll, finds Gillespie, jumper left side, got it, and Baylor's back in front.
Just could not get over the hump.
I'm not sure the Cyclones ever had a lead for more than one possession.
Yeah, right.
Every time they went up, Baylor answered right away.
They miss. Iowa State comes down, they miss again and gives Baylor another shot, yes. And then they do convert that time. Well, with 2 minutes left, Baylor hits a three to take a four-point lead. Iowa State missed its next five shots. Didn't score until a Chaok layup with 4 seconds left, which is too little too late. So 73-69 is your disappointing final. After the game, Steve Prohm is searching for answers.
20 offensive rebounds, it's tough. You know, I mean, I know we're going to give some up because of our size, but 20 is ridiculous. You know, We got really good kids. It's just that's why it's frustrating, the inconsistency at home and on the road. It's really mind-boggling, to be honest with you. We didn't deserve to win tonight. That's why it's frustrating. You know, if we play the right way, you get beat. We got good teams in this league, but we didn't play the right way. And, you know, I could see it. I told my assistants, it's first meet a timeout. I said, man, we're not where we need to be right now to win this game tonight. You know, and his assistants, they're going to say, no, they're going to try to. But I know these guys, been around them too long. You know, the games we've lost at home, outside of TCU, because we really practiced well, the other two games, I didn't feel really good coming into the game as a coach.
The big Mack truck guy, Mark Vidal, for Baylor, he has a really good first half, right? He gets two fouls, has to go sit, and you're like, yes, maybe this is our answer.
Right.
It was not one guy. No. It wasn't two guys. It was the whole team out-rebounded Iowa State.
And, you know, Prohm said
he had four fouls and had to go sit down again, and then was playing with four fouls, and they still couldn't do it.
It's just a lack of toughness. And you know, it was that soundbite was so interesting to me because Prohm essentially said, you know, almost every loss this season, he can feel it coming in.
Yeah. Right. In the first few minutes, he says he feels like we are not tough enough to win this game tonight. And he's right.
It's what we found with Iowa State this year because they're so up and down. Their talent, their ceiling is so high with that talent. Mm-hmm. But if they're not fully checked in, if they're not fully ready to go, fully engaged, they're not going to win.
If they're not, and right, I mean, if they're hitting shots, then you don't care if right. they're outnumbered underneath, right? I mean, they're hitting shots. It doesn't matter who gets the rebound or if you don't get it. If you're not, they are just without a real consistent plan B. But I don't know. You look at this game and you feel like, I cannot count on this team.
Yeah, a lot of people on Twitter last night, especially in the closing minutes and in the post game, wondering about George Condit and mm-hmm. why he didn't get more time.
Need more help underneath. You think you need another big guy?
I know he was. Steve mm-hmm. Prohm was asked about it and kind of gave the same answer he's been giving, which is, you know, I'm
just not
ready.
Don't want to play him.
Yeah, he's just exactly.
And you haven't argued with him at this point because the way he brought Cam Lard back, that seemed to make perfect sense. He had a rough game at many points last night too. The loss likely puts Iowa State out of regular season title contention. They are tied with Baylor in first place. Gave a lot of lift to Baylor, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That game did. Two games now behind Kansas State. So in Big 12 play, the Cyclones, compare this to your father's Cyclones, to the Johnny Orr Cyclones. Cyclones have four road wins in the Big 12 and three home losses.
Wow.
Is that the way it's supposed to be? That seems like a statistic that should really say something, like come across as, wow, that tells me everything I need to know. I'm not sure that it does, but really they have been better in many respects. They've been better away from home than they have been at home.
And there have been worse.
In a place like Hilton Coliseum, that makes no sense.
There have been worse, less talented Cyclone teams who have defended home court
no doubt.
Much better than this.
No,
and
no
only
doubt.
Lose to Kansas up there. It's I think that's one of the hardest things for Cyclone fans. They've come to expect wins, especially over teams that you're equal to or better than, you know, every team that comes up there, you expect to beat.
I think if you're trying to be an optimist about it, you say, well, that's okay. All the tournaments are played away from home.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
We'll be
that's
fine.
True.
But you need to get these wins to improve your position in those tournaments.
Yes.
You're supposed to get these wins.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Iowa, Maryland. This game, I thought it was a good-looking crowd as it starts out. Had some good kind of drama and everybody with their iPhone app and everything. Look, you could tell that right away. You could tell that is a crowd that has been thoroughly entertained by its team lately.
Yes.
They're
excited
checked in. It's lousy weather.
Absolutely.
They're there and they're ready to have some fun. So it's a big opportunity for Iowa to move up in the Big Ten standings, notch the rare win over the league's top half, get into that, you know, top four,
right,
as you're talking about yesterday in the Big Ten tournaments. You go in there, you get a couple of buys out of the first couple of rounds there. Hawkeyes get input from just about everybody to build a small lead.
Let's fly with a long jumper. It's short. Rebounded Garza. Up and in. Flips it into Garza. Shot off the glass. No good. Cook with a weak side tip dunk. And the Hawks are up 6-3. Potter puts the ball on the floor. Drives into the paint. Backdoor cut to Connor McCaffrey. Layup is good. Rebound up and in by Kreiner. The ball was actually gathered in by Sorrell Smith, brought it down to his waistline, and Ryan Kreiner will pick your pocket every time.
Okay, I think right there, Andrew, you just captured all of the highlights for Iowa that I was able to see while watching the first 30 minutes of the broadcast and then having to go to bed.
Yeah, it was a rough offensive half.
It was such a terrible start to the game for both teams. There was nothing going on. Just back and forth, miss, turnover, just back and forth. It took a long time for the game to launch. Finally, Maryland starts to heat up, though, and hitting threes.
To Ayala, his three over Isaiah Moss is good. Back-to-back threes by Maryland. Pass and Cowan for three. It's good. Look out. Three in a row by Maryland from distance. Cowan throws up a long three, and it goes in. Dented off the back of the iron and fell through.
27-23, Maryland leads it after an ugly offensive half for both teams.
23 points. For I think, the seventh best offense in the country.
I think it's worse than that, though, by my count, as I'm watching the replay of the game just a little while ago. Iowa had 27 points in the first 35 minutes of gameplay. 27 points.
Jeez. That's awful. And this is a team that hasn't had that this year. They have so many offensive weapons. Defense has been their liability. The defense played well. It kept Maryland in check for the most part. The offense just couldn't get going.
Luca Garza didn't see much of him.
No.
Jordan Bohannon struggled for most of that game.
Wieskamp had a real off night.
Wieskamp did.
Cook, I think, scored six total.
And kind of the new heroes. Isaiah Moss looked good.
He did.
He had another good half.
But I think at one point he had like 8 points on 10 shots, so was scoring, but not real efficient.
Second half, Terps start pulling away. Maryland leads by 11 with under 6 minutes left, but the Hawkeyes don't go away. And senior Nicholas Baer. He's one guy that shines.
For the lead. Yeah. 61-60. Iowa has come all the way back. 2:28 to go in the game. Can they do it again?
How did they not close that out? Listen to that crowd. The place is nuts.
Got loud, though.
And everybody's like, I'm not going anywhere.
And everybody
I don't care what the score is. I'm staying.
After those last two games, it's like, just put us in a position
to get
a last shot and we'll win this
game. Love being in that position, too. Iowa State fans can remember being in this position a few years back with Fred Hoiberg when they just kept climbing out of those gigantic, 20-point holes in the second half.
It was just like Naz to hit a big three or
something. It just didn't matter, right? I mean, they could score in bunches and climb out of any hole, and so the fans don't ever lose faith. So it goes back and forth in the final couple of minutes. Maryland gets a great tip in to take a one, just a really good play.
Yes.
To get a lead with 11 seconds left, and Iowa once again is put in the position for a third straight game of a last-second thriller.
And it comes into Jordan Bohannon. He races across the timeline with 5 seconds to go. Push-up, jump shot, no good. Moss with a rebound up and no good, and the game's over. Moss with a good look at it from 12 feet away, but Maryland holds on for the victory. 66-65 over the Iowa Hawkeyes.
The luck runs out, 66-65. I thought they had two good looks at the basket there, two good chances.
Yes.
When you compare it to Wieskamp's shot, they had two great chances.
Right.
Jordan Bohannon, I don't understand that shot.
It was a weird shot.
Looked like he was jumping to the side and just shot put it in.
Couldn't tell if he was trying to pass it or if he was just trying to, he knew he wasn't going to make it, so he's throwing it off the rim.
Really low trajectory. Hawkeye, the Hawkeye fanatical fans are circulating a picture of the Maryland defender with his hand on his arm. And
I saw another picture of a guy kind of running into Moss as he tried to put up the putback. But
you cannot judge anything by still photograph. You can't do it all the time. Sometimes. But in sports, in live action sports, a still photograph does not tell you anything.
No.
It happens. So you watch that play again. Do you see him get fouled there?
No.
I don't see him get fouled.
No, it would have been
Do you see a foul called in that situation, I guess is probably the best way to put it.
Almost never, right?
No.
Unless it's egregious.
Going up to the shot, in the air, jumping. Yeah, you do see that sometimes.
Sure.
It's tougher for the refs to call it. They don't want to affect a game like that. But that's not where this particular grab is in question. No,
you're not going to get that call. And,
even still, he gets out of the grab and has a good, solid footing with both hands on the ball, should be able to get a better shot than that. You don't know what he's doing because you know that he's such a marvelous shooter. Ball comes to Moss. Moss has a good look at the basket. You think he could score on that shot, too. I mean, really, that's That's a whole lot more likely he makes that one than Jordan Wieskamp, than Joe Wieskamp or even Jordan Bohannon's previous shot. So that's the way it falls. So here's what really sucks about this. Your rival loses, right? Yes. This all goes back to the Seahawk rivalry. Your rival loses. Let's say you didn't know what happened in your game for some reason.
Right.
You hadn't watched either one of them. And you see your rival score first. And you think, yes! The rival lost at home. Now all we have to do is win at home. And it's like a double play. It's a rivalry double play, right?
Yes.
You won and your opponent lost.
And tomorrow it's all going to be, we're great and
they're bad. Oh, yeah. You're like, all we had to do was win this game. Let me see the score. Oh, snap. We lost.
Yeah.
A missed opportunity on both sides.
For sure. Yeah, for Iowa, I think if I'm going to answer the quickie poll, I think the Cyclones are the biggest bust just because of what they had available.
Because they're favored by 9.5, 10 points.
They're favored by that, and also they're still in contention for a big Big 12 title. For Iowa, not a terrible loss by any means, but just such a big missed opportunity. Like we talked about, being top four in the Big Ten is a huge thing. You only had a couple of more opportunities to have nice wins. This was one of them, and you had them there. You don't. The sky's not falling, I think, is what one of the players told Chad Lysko after the game. Don't remember exactly who it was, but you know, the sky's not falling, and that's true. They're a good team. They're going to the tournament, all that. But, man, you get a chance like that at home to kind of notch a big win, move up in the standings. That's just a real big missed opportunity.
And for fans, again, you had started to believe that you knew what to expect.
Right.
Right? That was close. It came down to the last shot. The last shot's not going to fall in your favor all the time. You're right. With Iowa State, that's a bigger disappointment. That didn't come down to the last shot.
Right.
That you just get flat out outplayed on your court and did not give yourself a chance to win at the end.
Travis Hines had a stat about the last two games up at Hilton, you know, the TCU loss and then last night against Baylor. In those 80 minutes, Iowa State trailed for like 65 of those minutes. So it's like they didn't just lose two games at home. They were soundly beaten essentially the entire game in both of those games.
They sucked the life out of their fans for two games.
It's not that big of a deal, except that Cyclone fans have come to not expect that at all.
They are accustomed to their best performances of the season, their team's best performances being in front of them.
Right.
There in Ames. All would have been lost if it weren't for Drake. That's coming up next on the Murph and Andy Show. There.
You keep saying you got something for me.
Nancy Sinatra is somebody's guilty pleasure?
Yeah.
Is this yours?
No, we got a couple of these on Twitter today.
It's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
I guess nobody would put a Nancy Sinatra bumper sticker on their car.
Scrolling through my iTunes and this thing popped up.
I think of Full Metal Jacket when I hear this song.
Okay, yeah.
Nancy Sinatra. She was a little sex kitten back in the day. She was a 60s sex symbol. It is the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KXNO. The one thing that saved the night, and actually I felt pretty good about it the whole night after seeing this score, Drake won again. How about that? That's fantastic. You got some Drake highlights for us?
Yeah.
Why don't you just Drake is at home, and they got Bradley, which has won a whole bunch of games in a row in the Missouri Valley Conference. So this is not a gimme at all, even though Drake is hanging to a shred of first place at this point. Not a gimme at all. They need to play. Only 3,000 fans showed up. We'll go back to that in a minute. But 3,000 fans show up to support the Bulldogs. But they don't waver. They keep on playing good basketball.
Now a kick out to Anthony Murphy. Has a wide open look at three, and it's money. Now Sturtz has the basketball. He gets it back with three to play in the half. The putback by Wilkins at the buzzer. Sturtz went to the rack. He missed it, but Wilkins with the follow-up at the buzzer, and the Bulldogs will take a 42-36 lead into halftime. A long pass to Sturtz. Gets it ahead to McGlynn. McGlynn throws it down for two. That's how you break the press. 73-68. Bulldogs up by five with 24 seconds to play. Brown dribbles, throws up a long three. It's no good. And that's your ball game here at the Nav Center. 77-68. And how about this, Adam Emenecker? The Bulldogs on February 19th are in first place.
Wow.
All alone.
Who would have thought? Solo in first place, despite injuries, despite some challenges going through this year. This Drake Bulldog bunch continues to battle, continues to fight. Heck of a win at home against the Braves.
Got a little Darren DeVries in the post-game locker room as well, talking, looking back at the win. Here's Darren DeVries.
Obviously, late in the year, wins are hard to come by, and tonight was no different. So it was, another one of those games where it came down to the wire, and it was back and forth down the stretch. And I thought our guys, really battled and competed, and did a great job of getting themselves to the free throw line and knocking them down, especially late in the game when we needed them down the stretch there to knock some big throws down to give us a little cushion in that last couple minutes.
Darn right they went to the free throw line 36 times.
Ooh.
They only shot 36% for the game. The free throw line, though, they were 31 of 36. They were great. They had five players in double digits. They spreaded the score. They spread the scoring around. Spreaded. Sound like one of my kids talking.
That's how my son talks.
Yeah, yeah.
Just puts an id at the end of it.
He told on me. They got it. It didn't matter. Nah. They got it done. This is fantastic. They got 21. Are you kidding?
That's amazing.
This Drake team has 21 wins.
10-5 in the conference.
They have as many wins in the conference right now as they had all of last year. Last year was a great
That's
year
right.
in the conference,
yeah,
too. They were
really
great in the conference last year. They still have a few games left. Now, we need to hope. We need to cheer for you and I.
Yeah, they play Missouri State
play
tonight.
Missouri State, and then cheer for Evansville, who has to travel to Loyola.
And those
half-game lead for the Bulldogs.
The
right
two
now.
Teams, half a game back.
3,000 fans at the game last night. Yep.
Man.
Yeah. Game put the Bulldogs in first. This isn't a January game during January term. Okay, January term is over. Students are back. Okay, this wasn't a January early in the conference season game. Like they haven't really started playing the best teams. This is February 19th. This team is in the hunt. What are you doing? Go to the game if you can. If you can go to the game, if you've been a Drake fan, you got to go to the game unless you have to go to bed.
And even like the forecast, even the weather that was supposed to come that ended up not really coming was not supposed to really hit until after this game. I mean, even if everything happened the way it was forecast, right, starting at 10 o'clock, right. You would have been well at home had you gone to
the game. You'd have been, yeah, on your, at the very least, you'd been on your way home.
Yeah. At the very
didn't go down to the final seconds either. No. You could have left a little bit early.
Right.
You'd have been fine. That's what they're up against at Drake, though, and that's the bear they're going to have to slay. I mean, this old-time thing. They did it in 2008, though. That's the problem. You've seen it happen before. In 2008, those tickets were selling out. The place was packed. People were going early. They were going to dinner around there. They were going to Peggy's and West End and drinking before the games. I mean, they were performing like that was a true college town.
That's so interesting.
College campus with a good basketball team. Yeah. It was, because we were like, where is this place?
If that can happen in the span of one season, right? Nobody came into that year expecting that to happen. And by the end of the season, everybody was on board. Like, you would think it could happen again. It's not going to take a couple of years for this to pick up steam again, right? I mean, you would think by now, this point in the season,
yeah,
maybe
well,
not quite that atmosphere because this isn't quite that team. You know, they haven't won 20 in a row, but this is a good team.
You have to be positive to even call it a sleepy fan base,
right?
Well, they're just sleepy. They need to. You got to wake them up a little bit. You got to try a little harder to wake them up and get them going, and they'll be there, which is true. Technically, you can look back to 2008, say that they have shown up before. That season though was such an anomaly.
Yeah,
you look at that and you think 21 wins. That is the most wins that a Drake team has had since way back in the 60s. What about 2008? Oh yeah, there was 2008.
And that's the thing, right? That it's there's now been a decade of last year was good. This year is better. Before that, it was, I mean, it was bad there for a while.
What you've had, though, is two consecutive coaches who have come in with tough hands.
Yes.
Right? And won.
And succeeded, there. Yes.
So that ought to tell any other coaches they might have to worry about in the future that that's not that difficult.
Right.
And it tells you that whoever is at Drake right now pulling the trigger on these hires, Marty Martin. I mean, he had a hand in the hires of Nico Medved and Darren DeVries. Marty Martin has proven to have a good sense about a men's basketball coach.
For sure.
Right now. I mean, Brian Harden gets the credit here for Darren DeVries, and to a certain extent, all of Darren DeVries' friends who've been lobbying Drake for years to hire him get some credit too. But right. So it goes to Harden. But they've shown that, yeah, you can do that. It's not a purgatory. It's not a death knell for a coach.
And the Valley's wide open. You know, the Valley and will be likely for the foreseeable future. I mean, you expect you and I to come back to prominence at some point. Loyola obviously has a good thing going. They'll capitalize on some of that Final Four publicity and recruiting and things in the next couple of years. But without a Creighton and without a Wichita State, a team like Drake can be a player in this league year in and year out.
That would be fantastic if we had three men's teams in the tournament. Those are fun years. Yes. There's a little something for everybody. Everybody kind of goes their own way. And there's a whole bunch of games for us to talk about and just sort of have on our radar. I would love to see it. Going to need to win that conference tournament, though, no doubt about it. It's the Murph and Andy Show, back with Throwdowns.
That's what's going on. Nothing's fine, I'm torn. I'm all out of faith. This is how.
Oh, Sipker's going to be upset. He missed that one. This was his day.
Yeah.
Natalie Imbruglia.
He's been waiting for the end.
Yeah. That video. That's what hooked him into real music.
Pop music.
He was nothing but country before that.
His music knowledge starts with this song.
Yeah. I was watching that video as we were putting this together. She's good looking, no doubt. She did this live like 2 years ago. She has not aged much at all.
Oh, yeah?
Natalie Imbruglia.
She's still singing the one song?
She looks excellent. She came out, just sang this song 10 times, yep. And that was the whole concert. That was it. Did everybody catch that ad for the Des Moines Police Department before that? I was listening to that.
Yeah.
It'd be funny to hear like a real honest ad for a job to be a cop. Did you hear that? Like, do you like this, working with other people and challenges?
Yeah, working with people from all different communities?
Yeah, all different communities. Well, if it was honest, people, do you like working with thieves, liars, meth heads, power drinkers? This is a job for you. People are just lying to you all day, every day, if you're a cop.
Yes.
Trying to get away from you.
Right.
Trying to BS you into thinking they weren't doing anything wrong.
Very
they didn't
few
see their.
Are happy to see you.
Yeah, they're not happy. Yeah, sometimes they're real so, happy yeah, to so, see. Yeah. You. Really,
when they're happy to see you, they couldn't be happier.
We should call 5-0 on the carpet. Ask him about what that advertisement should really say.
Yeah,
he wouldn't
right.
tell you on the record, but yeah, no. I mean, those guys are proud to be police. We're proud of them, and it's very, very, very important
do
job.
You know a lot about drugs, but you don't do them yourself.
Yeah, right. You know everything about drugs, and you've never even tried them. Well, you've got a part of what it takes to be a cop.
Do you like rap music except the songs that are anti-police?
Yeah, right, right. You selective about your...
Do you want to be Ice Cube's enemy? Join the police department.
Oh, yeah. It is the Murph and Andy Show, 1460 KX. And now we're going to do a special version of Throwdown. Versus left brain.
Right.
So right brain is your more practical brain. Left
right.
brain is kind of the wild side, the dreamer in you.
I like it. We'll start here. Andy, Drake's alone in first place in the Missouri Valley, which is most likely a one-bid league in the NCAA tournament. Would you rather the Bulldogs win the regular season championship but lose down in St. Louis and head to the NIT where they'd get an automatic bid from winning the league? Or that they lose the regular season title but win Arch Madness and head to the NCAA tournament.
Man, this is hard to have two arguments on this one. I'll have to give it to you there. Right brain, get to the NCAA tournament. That's all you really care about, right? I mean, you're trying to wow the fans that have been asleep at this point. That's like job number one. You got to the NCAA tournament. What are you doing? You missed all these games. Get everybody on board. Who knows what happens? Maybe you even get in there and you surprise somebody and you win a game and you pay back all of these the loyal fans who've been with you and the loyal kids who've been through so much with those coaches. All right, left brain. The choice is...
You can't even make this argument. I can make it for you.
All right, you make it.
You win a regular season conference championship. You hang that banner. That's something to really, really hang your hat on. It's not going down...
Get a banner either way.
Yeah, but that's something... like you're not going down and winning three games. In an 18-game regular season, you are the best team, including a team that went to a Final Four last year. That really shows something about your program and where it's headed. You don't go to the NCAA tournament because you don't win the tournament. That's too bad. That sucks. That's too bad. You do go to the NIT because you get the automatic bid. You win two or three games in the NIT, and that is something. As an Iowa fan, I remember it was, 8 years ago or so that Iowa got to the NIT, got all the way to the championship game. Of course, that wasn't as important as making the NCAA tournament, but that's a fun run as a fan to watch your team play teams that they can beat. I don't know how the NIT exactly does it, but I doubt Drake gets a home game. But you get more Drake basketball. You get to see this team longer. You go to the NCAA tournament, you're, 14 seed? You're probably getting housed by a Villanova or something in the first round. You're not going to San Jose to watch your team get beat on Thursday of the NCAA
You're not
tournament.
Such an unorthodox team. You don't have some crazy crazy offense that's hard to defend.
You go to the NIT and make a little bit of noise. That's
you run
fun.
Into big teams. There too,
the
ones
do.
That just didn't make the NCAA tournament, but they're still from the Big Ten or the Big 12.
I think you're right,
huge.
Brain is probably right, but I do think there's more of an argument.
All right,
left
brain needs to be able to rally on the second question.
All right, right brain, you're snow blowing, and you're the first of your neighbors to do so.
Right.
You're on the sidewalk, and you reach your property line. Should you be expected to continue to your neighbor's driveway, or is it okay to turn around and head back home? So
it
I'm
depends.
Not saying you have to do their whole driveway, but do you do the whole sidewalk?
It depends on your neighbor. If your neighbor, as mine is out of town and he winters in Arizona and he can't see me doing his driveway and it doesn't matter how neighborly I am, he has like a service doing it, well, I'm not doing all that extra ground, right? I shouldn't have to.
Right.
I don't get any credit for that, right? Nobody else is looking at me from across the street saying, wow, he's doing the guy who's in Arizona's, you know, the Arizona's a sidewalk, poor SOB, didn't even realize it. No, you do what is just your stuff. You get that stuff done, and then you get back inside where you can be with your family. Left brain, no, man, you go all around the neighborhood, especially when you're new to the neighborhood like I am. You get out there, and, I do a full lap, go all the way around both sides. I did that one day. Burned up a whole bunch of gas, struggling with my snowblower, which is not great. But I did it. I was out there, and you know what? Since I've done that, I have not had to do my own sidewalk yet.
Boom.
Somebody else gets out there in front of me.
There you go.
Left brain, baby.
All right, Andy, I set two bowls of chili in front of you. Mm-hmm. You got two bowls. One has the perfect ratio of ingredients, the right amount of spice. This is your ideal bowl of chili,
yep.
But there's no toppings or accoutrements at all. It's just a bowl of chili and a spoon. The other bowl it's not perfect. It's a little bland, maybe a little too soupy. But next to it, there's shredded cheese, there's every kind of cracker, there's a bowl of Fritos, there's anything you could possibly want to put in this chili is right there. You can make it however you want. Which bowl do you eat?
Right brain eats the bowl by itself, for sure. No. I changed that. The right brain goes with the accoutrements, because that's all the right brain really cares about. How can you decorate up this bowl of chili? It's all about just the toppings and stuff like that. You don't really think about how the chili tastes. Chili's chili. It doesn't matter if it's out of a can or it's, you know, somebody that doesn't really know how to make it. Whatever. It's just a delivery device for sour cream and Fritos, right? That's all you care about. No. Left brain cares about what goes into the chili, because it's not the bowl that is the canvas. It's the chili itself. And so they get in there with your own individually dried ancho chilies, and you grind those babies up. Make your own chili powder. You don't get that McCormick stuff out of the can. You make it yourself. You toast that. You bloom the spices. You get use some good meat, good fresh vegetables in there. You cook it all day long, and you don't care if there's anything else with it. That's fine. If not, you got a great bowl of chili. That's the left brain.
All right. The poll is up on Twitter. Who won Throwdowns? Was it Andy's right brain or Andy's left brain, or was it Murph?
Yeah, or is it Murph? Murph should be an option. Always should be. leave you with another guilty pleasure. We've got a lot coming up here in hour number two, including a special version of Mr. Movie. We're going to talk Oscar picks and you're the best movies that came out in a terrible time of the year.